Good morning. Let's, people, let me just first of all say and beg you, let's go into prayer. Let's go into prayer for Spring Valley Bible Church. We need people that want to understand the Word of God. Now, we had them in this assembly at one time, and the battle took over, and now a lot of people are not coming at all. A lot of people were staying at home, watching, listening. But a lot of churches are gathering people back. And we've got the room. they say 25 more. We've got more than 25 rooms for y'all can come in and worship. Please be in prayer for this assembly, for listening to the Word of God on Phil in the morning and Kit on Wednesday, and what we worship on Sunday afternoon, the second one Sunday. So let's be in prayer that we can, people, the Holy Spirit will energize you to come and worship with all of us. So let's begin with a word of prayer and have a morning of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do love your word. We, Heavenly Father, do appreciate and love the history that America's had, that Spring Valley Bible Church has had. We know, Heavenly Father, that all of this is now under battle, under siege, to take it away, to take away people from studying the Word of God, worshiping together. So, Father, we pray now that you will be with us today. Open our eyes, Heavenly Father, as we study your Word. Put these things together, Father, and gather the strength of members of the church to come together and worship. Heavenly Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, let's begin, first of all, with a word of prayer or with a song. What are we going to sing?
We're going to sing "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," which is in 375.
375. Now, this gets back into almost what we were just talking about. We need more people back here to worship and study the Word of God, but we need more in for singing. And so that's a little bit difficult for some people. Now, for some people like me, can't be on the tune every day. Yes.
Yeah, don't worry about the sound. I can auto-tune it.
All right. So let's just do it with some gusto, some joy, some appreciation for the Word of God, for the privilege to sing together. So let's stand and sing 375, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Let's stand and sing.
Trust to rest upon His promise. Trust to know what a Savior.
Okay, thank you. Okay. The first thing that we're going to change or add to continue that we used to do at this assembly is in regard to the Lord's table, and that's we used to eat together. Well, next Sunday, those of you that want to, we're going to eat together here. And we're going to bring some food, and we're going to worship, and then we're going to have some fellowship together, and do some things that we've stopped doing, get back to doing them, and worshiping together. So next Sunday is communion. Next Sunday is fellowship time. After we take fellowship, we're going to eat together and have some time together. So, yes.
So just like a potluck thing, whatever we
Yeah, just a little bit. Don't bring a whole lot. I'll eat it all. So, but just a little bit for a little fellowship and eating together, absolutely. So that will be next Sunday. Now, I want to add something to that. It's difficult with having as few people as we do, taking care of cleaning and all. Now, next Sunday, we'll be taking communion and we'll be fellowshipping, eat together. Let's work together cleaning and make sure everything is clean and taken care of, and so that no ants will come in and want to fellowship after we're gone. So let's take that together next week. Okay, any question on next Sunday? Next Sunday is communion and fellowship together. Now, let's talk about getting ready and for our church and our prayer. I want to start my prayer request with my wife. She is just every day gets tougher and tougher for her, more pain. And tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, she starts some major things with the doctors. So please be in prayer. They can find out what's going on with her, and she can get back to momentum in life again. So please be in prayer for Judith in regard to tomorrow morning. And now, what else do we need to be in prayer? Anybody have anything else? Nehemiah prayer for yes.
Yeah, say travel for Debbie, business related over there.
All right, is she going to travel this week?
She'll be traveling this week and also next week.
Okay, we need to be in prayer. People need to be in prayer on a plane and people. And so let's please be in prayer. Now, when they fly today, is it okay to fly if they haven't had all right.
And she just had the second shot, so she's been vaccinated.
All right.
But still, you have to take all the precautions.
But if you don't have it, you can still fly.
You just have to wear a mask.
Okay. What about for foreign?
For what?
Going over America.
Oh, I don't.
Herman, adding to that, Tana just
do what?
Tana just left for Switzerland.
Ah.
About mid-February. She had to have a negative COVID test to go. When she got to the next city in the U.S. to get on the Switzerland flight, they wanted a different COVID test, so she had to stay in a hotel for 3 days for another negative COVID. She got to Switzerland and they quarantined her. And she has to have another negative to get out of quarantine. And then she'll have to have another one to come back into.
Okay.
So wow. That's your answer.
All right.
So pray for Tana. She's
absolutely. Be in prayer for her travel and on the plane and all. And then for her family when she gets there. The flight seems to be such a battle. And used to be, we just were in prayer about our family and people we went to on trips with, but now it has to be the flying and the trip. So let's please be in prayer. Absolutely. All right, any other prayer requests? All right. Please be in prayer for each other. Please be in prayer for everyone in this assembly. People start coming back to worship God together and fellowshipping together in the Word of God. Okay, oh, offering. we can't, we got to pass a plate for just a few people, and that, and so we have an offering plate in the back, and in some history, there was a, some churches, that's when they would do it, have the offering plates at the table, outside, or outside the room, and they'd have two or three. One for offering, one for missionaries, one for people need money, this type of thing. So right now we just leave the offering plate there and think about the need that we have to take care of our bills and these things that we have. Okay, time to study the Word of God. Okay, let's just begin with a word of prayer before I get what I want to talk about. So let's go into prayer. God, the Holy Spirit, open our eyes and ears as we prepare ourselves to study the blood of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to come together and worship. Take the Word of God and to study it, understand it. We thank you, Father, for our opportunity to study the Word of God. Pray your Spirit will open our eyes and ears to things you'd have us to read, to understand. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. All right. We're in the midst of studying the blood of Christ. Let's begin this morning by opening the Bible to Hosea. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. This is just an introduction for our study. Hosea chapter 6, and let's just read verse 6 and then study and just note a few things. Verse 6, for I delight, this is God talking, I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Okay. For I delight in the loyalty. Actually, the Hebrew word is loving kindness. Faith. So it is, for I delight in love. I delight in faithfulness. I delight in love. Delight. That's in believers. That's in believers who know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. People, don't ever forget the Holy Spirit. Before you study the Word of God, before you eat food, sleep, get up, whatever, let's remember that our prayer is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, continuing, what does God desire from us? As God, He sent His Son to become like mankind. And then as a member of mankind, to remove sinfulness in forgiveness, which is what we'll be studying soon. For God desires faithfulness, loyalty, love inside to those who belong to Him. So we're studying right now the power of Jesus Christ in the love of and the blood of Christ to get ready to teach us to praise, to worship, and to grow in knowledge. Then the third one thing, the second thing in here is God desires knowledge. God delights in loving kindness, but God desires knowledge. That is what we gain with constant study in the Word of God, in the power of the Spirit, from those who are trained in the study of the Word of God, are what we're going to be studying. So This is what we're in the midst of looking at, and that is Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, who provides for us the freedom to worship Him. Now, we're studying the love of Christ. We've already studied Roman numeral 1, the definition and description of the blood of Christ. We've studied Roman numeral 2, animal blood of the Old Testament. People, the Old Testament is so important. In a few moments, Sundays, we're going to start looking at forgiveness and how forgiveness is related to the Old Testament. How the Old Testament forgiveness is related to John the Baptist. A lot of important things we're going to be studying that we've not studied before dealing with forgiveness. But it's right now the animal blood of the Old Testament. They go in, have an animal, different animals, and they die. They bleed to death. Blood goes out. As the blood goes out of the animal, they go into prayer and think about in their relationship with God. Roman numeral 3, animal blood, therefore, becomes a major issue in understanding the blood of Christ. Okay? Understanding the blood of the animal is going to be important in understanding the blood of Christ. Roman numeral 4, the blood of the animal contains the soul or the life of the animal. We're slowly building this together. And now we've come move to where the blood, when we have an animal in the Old Testament, and the animal would die, and the animal's life was in its blood, not in the, like humans. Jesus Christ did not bleed to death. Jesus Christ died spiritually. But we're looking at, under Roman numeral 4, the blood of the animal contains the soul or the life of the animal. Now that moves us to Roman numeral 5. In the New Testament, four doctrines of soteriology or salvation are included in the phrase, the blood of Christ. When you have those words in the Bible, you'll find them with these four words. The blood of Christ, in regard, and I'll not read the verses of the Bible, but the concept. Redemption through sin in the blood of Christ. Reconciliation toward mankind through the blood of Jesus Christ. Propitiation or expiation in being in God in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then finally, justification is related to the blood of Christ. All four of those words are important in the blood of Christ. That brings us this morning to where we left off, Roman numeral 6. Roman numeral 6. I don't know how far we'll get to, maybe finish. But we're going to look at Roman numeral 6. Now, bringing in the understanding of the spiritual death of Jesus Christ is well presented in the Greek knowledge. We're dealing here with the spiritual death of Christ. So we're talking about the blood of Christ, and what that is dealing with is the death of Christ, His spiritual death, not His physical death. That's not the issue. The issue is far superior than that. It deals with His spiritual death. Now, and important in the use of sacrificial animals to teach what was to happen in the history that will come up with Jesus Christ in His spiritual death. But in the Old Testament, They're teaching the sacrificial death of the animal to teach the physical death of the animal to teach about the spiritual death of Christ coming. In the Old Testament sacrifices, animal blood was literally and actually shed on the altar, causing the spiritual death of the animal. Okay. What we're talking about? Old Testament. Go into Levitical offerings. Go into the sacrifice. And they would bring in the animal and he would die. And that would teach them the death, the spiritual death of Jesus Christ. The issue of the spiritual and physical death of Christ is not the issue. The issue of the physical death of the animal is an interest in teaching the death of Christ on the cross. Now, the animal blood was literal and actually shed on the altar, causing the physical death of the animal. Every time. It was very bloody. I just want you to understand, this was a really messy deal. They'd come in, and everybody would come in, not all together one, each person, bring in their animal, sacrifice, blood everywhere. The literal priest would take some of the blood on the cup and take it in. But there would be blood all over the floor, all over the table, all over the worship that was going on. The physical death of the animal on the altar was a shadow portraying spiritual death of Christ. Okay, I'm sorry. We don't have a copy. It's the same one we had last week. And Brian and I tried to make you some copies, but that didn't work. And we'll have that better taken care of next week. I don't know if we'll use this one next week or not. If we do, I'll have you some good, fresh copies to give you to close down with. But and we'll start with some new ones dealing with sacrifice and dealing with forgiveness. That's what we're going to be studying next. Okay, let's go back to what I just said. The physical death of the animal on the altar was a shadow portraying the spiritual death of Christ on the cross for the sins of the world. Jews would come in to the prayer to pray with the high priest. And they'd be doing this. And they'd be learning. We don't do that. We now have paper, books, Bibles, all this. They didn't have it. They needed to learn. And they did this. We do it in the assembly. So, this was what was to teach them the spiritual death of Christ. Therefore, a representative analogy. Representative analogy is established. The physical death of the animal was not efficacious. The physical death of the animal was not efficacious. It is the saving work of Christ on the cross that is efficacious. Not of the animal. It taught them. But not reality. So we're dealing with representative analogy. The physical death of the animal was not efficacious. It is the saving work of Christ on the cross that is efficacious. Efficacious means that the death of Christ Jesus was effective toward God, toward saving mankind. Taking care of all of the sins of the world. All the sins of the world. Not just those that believe, but all the sins of the world. That's the efficacious work of Christ on the cross. The death of a sacrificial animal was ineffective. Did you get that? The death of a sacrificial animal was ineffective to provide salvation. Ineffective. Therefore, the physical death of the animal pointed toward the reality, so that Jews would be, and non-Jews would come in, they would be learning. He's coming. He's coming. And he's going to die on a cross. So this is what they were looking for. People, we look forward to it. Him coming again. His coming again. Starting the millennium. So we're looking for it. They're looking for it. And this is what they were there to learn. Animals cannot die spiritually. Animals cannot die spiritually. So, their physical death was used to teach of the coming spiritual death of the Messiah. I'm just going to say these things slowly. Be sure you get it down. This type of teaching is not done. Few people don't understand these things. It's my job to do that. Now, let's note a few things with this. A, the Levitical priest come in as the priesthood in the assembly. The Levitical priest would receive the animal at the brazen altar and tie it to the tone or to the horns of the altar. Because this, let me just tell you, we all know the bull, the animal wasn't happy about this, so try to jump around. They would tie it down, bring it in, clean off the blood from the last one, tie an animal onto the altar. That's what we're dealing with here. B, the priest would place his one hand on the animal and the other hand on the kneeling person who brought the animal. His guilt is transferred to the lamb. Alright? C, once the person's sins are transferred to the lamb, the priest would lie up the animal on the muzzle and cut his throat. His artery. Now, connecting the neck with the head, and with a sharp knife, and every time the animal tried to breathe, he pumped blood out. Every time, boom, boom, every time. That's what he was learning. He was looking at the coming Christ on the tree. That's what he was looking at. That's why the animal was tied on the altar. And it was meant to be a violent type of death. I want you to understand something on this. The death of Christ on the cross is violent. Not his physical death. Many people die physically throughout the history of mankind. Military soldiers die. Parents will die. The people in the fire department will die. And die violent deaths. I mean horrible, violent deaths. Not for mankind. When Christ came to the cross, he died spiritually. This is unbelievable violence that he had to die for all of us. That's why the animal was tied to the altar, and it was meant to be a violent death, picturing the spiritual death of Jesus Christ on the cross. All right, now D. Likewise, the violent death of our Lord on the cross was not his physical death, but his spiritual death, which caused him to scream on the cross time and time again in darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what he cried on the cross in the darkness. He was not dying physically. He was dying spiritually. His spiritual death was peaceful and easy when compared with the violence of his spiritual death. When he's through some 3 years, 3 hours, he will cry out, it is finished. It is finished. My death over spiritual death is finished. The death for the death of the sins of the world is finished. Now I'm ready to die. Calmly, peacefully, quietly. He was ready to die physically. So I want you to understand what's happening here. In coming into contact with all the sins of the world and being judged for them, he experienced the worst violence of the world ever knew. But not his physical death, but his spiritual death in his soul. That's what he died for us. And that brings us to the last one, E. Here is where the issue of the spiritual death of Jesus Christ comes into the study of the death of Christ. This is where the spiritual death comes into understanding the death of Jesus Christ. The life of an animal is pictured in its physical death. But the life of Jesus Christ is not pictured in his physical life, but in his spiritual life. So, Jesus died a spiritual death on the sins, for the sins of the world. This was far worse than physical death that he bore. While we can die physically, we cannot die spiritually. People can die physically screaming, crying, shouting, quietly, singing. Many people in church history died on the cross by the Romans, singing while they died. Not screaming, singing. There's just so many different ways in which people died. But people, what happened to Christ happened to no one else in history. He died on the cross, bearing the judgment of the sins of the world. While we can die physically, we cannot die spiritually. Why? Because we are born spiritually dead. We're born physically alive with a soul, but we're born spiritually dead. Dead. Now, this is what is meant by the figurative use of the blood of Jesus Christ in our definition section. the blood of Jesus Christ is a figurative of the blood of Christ while referring to his spiritual death on the cross. Okay? Roman numeral 7. That one took a little while, but Roman numeral 7 now. Differing animals could be offered in the priesthood sacrifice. For an example, the red heifer offering was related to spiritual recovery for the believer. Also, they would die bulls, lambs, goats. But in every case, the animal was without spot and blemish. See? Not a broken leg or anything wrong with it. Perfect. A very beautiful creature, just to be ready for that. Now, think about this from a society. That's money. This lamb, bull, animals, is part of my wealth. There it is, dying. And let me just get this one over here, because it's got a broken leg anyway. Wasn't any good, so I'll just let it die. Didn't work that way. You had to take the very best as a picture of God's best, dying on the cross. So, these are the things that happened. But in every case, the animal was without spot and blemish, a very beautiful creature. As the person watched this horrible, violent death of the animal tied to the altar, it taught of the work of the coming Messiah on the cross. Now, there was a great deal of struggling in the death. For every time the creature would breathe, he would pump blood from his body. Boom. This was a reminder of the death and work of Christ on the cross, the coming Messiah on the cross. That's what they were learning every time. Now, see, we don't do that. We've got it written down. You got it. Take notes. Don't have to get messy, blood all over the place. Don't have to clean up in here afterward. See? It's all clean. But that's what they had to do. That's how they learned these things. That brings us now to point 7. Roman numeral 7. One, this is just a gather point now. One of the primary reasons why so many misunderstand the blood of Christ is because so very few correctly understand the biblical ritual in the Jewish tradition. They just didn't understand it in the tradition that they did. That's why they think that's reality. That's not reality. This is going to take a few moments that you will have to remain filled with the Holy Spirit and remembered and taught understanding what Jesus Christ went through and what the ritual was teaching. The Jewish ritual was a representative analogy. The Jewish ritual was a representative analogy. Every one of them were learning a representative analogy. For the animal on the altar was a picture of our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, being judged of the sins of the world. The violent physical death of the animal depicted our Lord's violent spiritual death. Representative analogy of spiritual death. Hence, it is not a literal analogy, but a representative analogy. What happened throughout all the history of the Old Testament, when they started doing this, it was representative analogy, never a literal analogy. Was there a literal analogy? One time. Happened in Jerusalem, outside of the city of the walls. Same thing happened there. He died 6 hours on the cross. 3 hours, and then 3 hours in darkness. And then died, and therefore taken off of the cross, and buried outside of the cross. It's really interesting. Where was Christ crucified? Well, first of all, let me just tell you, in one way, I'm glad we don't know. I'm glad we don't know. But some people believe it happened in one of the churches that are happened in the main area of Jerusalem. I don't think so. Outside of it was the closing of a garden. And in that garden, they crucified him and then carried him inside and tied him up there inside. So, where it happened is, it's like his birth. One of the funniest places to go is for the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. And I mean, that is a joke. They have a metal iron floor, and people kiss it. Get down and kiss it. Wipe it down. It's where he was born. And it's pitiful. Just pitiful. But here we're looking at his spiritual death, representative analogy, because they teach them what happened on the cross, spiritual analogy, the spiritual death, what had happened on the cross. That now comes to Roman numeral 9. This takes us to the Old Testament. It's going to take a few moments, the Old Testament. Biblical understanding is essential of understanding animal blood. Understanding this definition of animal blood is key to understanding the New Testament blood of Christ. The Bible makes it clear that animal blood is the seat of the animal life. It's where the animal's life is. So the Bible is clear. Animal blood is the seat of animal life. Animal blood, life of the animal. Remember, the animals have no soul, as we understand gift of the soul. The seat of human life is in the invisible soul. When we die, it's really interesting, the various studies that have had and done with man's death. Some people claim that the weight changes. They had the weight on the person, and when it died, it actually it took out some weight. And that was his human soul. Now, was that true? The idea is true, certainly. But whether or not it happened, I don't know. But this is what we're in the midst of looking now. The seed of human life is the invisible soul. A human being is not dead when he bleeds. He is dead when his soul leaves his body. Okay. Leviticus 17. Since some of you don't have your new, or the paper, let's look at Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17. Gonna do some work now. One of my hurts in the ministry is that I will never be able to study every book of the Bible. Now, several years ago, did a survey of every book in the Old Testament. We went through it. That doesn't accomplish a whole lot. It accomplishes some things, but this is the type of thing you have to really spend time. And now what we're going to do is look at Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus is of the priesthood. Leviticus carries all of the doctrines that they learn for the priesthood. So that's what we're in the midst, and all the things that they do learn. But let's jump now to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 10. And any man from the house of Israel. Now, that is a citizen or from an alien with sojourn, who sojourned among them, who eats any blood, I will set my face against. Now that's what God is saying here. And any man from the house of Israel who eats any blood, I will set his face against that person. Okay. Idiom, meaning to judge that person to eat, who eats the blood, and who will cut the animal with and take the blood of the animal. Now, why will God judge so harshly those who eat any blood? I hope you understand Leviticus 17:10. He's going to bring judgment to anyone who drinks, eats of blood. Okay, why does God do this? Because by so doing, he is showing that he does not understand these important doctrines like the life of the coming Messiah and the teaching of the life of the animal is the bleeding that God is trying to teach Israel. That's what they have to learn. Parentheses. It doesn't work until in the church age. You can eat blood, but not in this distributed setting of Israel. Can't do it. Okay? But why? They were there to learn. They were to learn about the blood of Christ. Verse 11. For the life of the flesh of. Now that is of the animal. For the life of the flesh, the animal, is in the blood. Can't be any clearer than that. The animal has no soul. As we understand the soul, his life is in his blood. Your life is not in your blood. Your life is in your soul. This is one of the great issues in evolution versus creation. The evolutionist would have you believe that all humans are simply a higher animal, and all you have to do is to die as a human being, that's dying as an animal. Meet his animal need if he dies as an animal. This is why so many people are so psychotic and under stress, anxiety, depression in the world. This is why They do not understand the great soul that that's endangered in homosexuality, lesbianism, on and on and on. They simply think of man as an animal, not what happens to our souls when we get involved in this activity. In his life, they think his life is in his blood, rejecting the soul as part of man. One of the bases of rejecting the soul is that it is invisible but real. One of the basic of rejecting the soul is that it is invisible but real. Animals do not have souls as we do. Our life is in the soul. Animal life is in his blood. Our life is in our souls. Life of an animal is in its blood. This does not mean that animals do not have some of the instincts that we do in our soul nature. See, doesn't mean they don't have some of that. We die in many different ways. Illness, cancer, injuries, diseases, and so forth. But whatever the means of dying, you are not dead until the soul leaves the body. And that is when you're dead. When your soul leaves. A person often dies without bleeding. Multitude of people die without bleeding. Often, today, we mechanically keep the body functioning while the soul is really dead. But we put it in there and keep him going. But he's not there. The person's not there. Eventually, they let go of that and let him go. Now, issue. Humans are not dead until the soul leaves the body. Not so with animals. This is why the whole subject of blood becomes so important. It has to be properly related to the animal and improperly and yet properly related to Jesus Christ. Human sacrifice is not commanded. Human sacrifice is not commanded, nor condoned by God. Do you understand that? Human sacrifice is not commanded, nor condoned by Christ. One of the most interesting studies is Abraham takes his son up on the altar, draws a sword or a knife, and is going to cut him, kill him. God doesn't allow that. That's not what he's to do. There's only one sacrifice, and that's the Son of God. It's the only the Son of God. Now, human sacrifice is not commanded. Why not? Human sacrifice cannot illustrate this point. Understand that? Human sacrifice cannot illustrate the point. Why? Because the life of the human is in the soul, and you cannot see the soul leave the body. So to teach the death of Jesus Christ, God uses the animal's blood to teach spiritual death of Jesus Christ to the people of Israel. And that's how all of this thing was done. Now, let's look at verse 11. Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh of the animal, of the blood, talking about the animal, your life, your soul is not in the blood. Your soul is in your life. See, but here it is not. For the soul which gives life in the flesh is in the blood of the animal, not in the human being. Now verse 11, let's take a look at it. And I have given it to you on the altar. In other words, animals are sacrificed on the altar because when they are bleeding, their life is leaving their bodies. If you look at the animal, its life is bleeding. Continuing verse 11. To make atonement for your souls, to cover sins, or to make propitiation, covering. All right, let's see what we just read. And I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. That's what we're learning on the altar. The making of propitiation. This is made atonement for the world's sins. And therefore, change man's position in relationship with God. When blood is discussed in the Old Testament, it is seen as a covering. Think about that. When blood is discussed in the Old Testament, it's seen as a covering. The priest sprinkles it on the altar. He sprinkles it on the mercy seat. It is that daily spiritual sprinkling on the altar. It was annually sprinkled on the mercy seat. The blood always covered something. That is what atonement means. Atonement means covering. Covering of blood. So verse 11, let's just read it all. I have given it to you. Let me just read it to you. On the altar to make atonement or propitiation for your souls, for it is a blood by reason of the life that makes a propitiation covering, atonement on your souls. So that's what they're learning. See this animal bleeding? Oh look, it's bleeding. And it's bleeding, you're taking it out. Now it's covering over the ends of the sea. So that's Christ. He took my place. Took my place. Leviticus 17:10. Let's look at it again. And verse 11. Let me just read it to you. And anyone from the house of Israel or from the strangers who reside outside them, who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats the blood and will cut him off from among the people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. So there's the total understanding of these verses involved here. Now, we have time. Let's look. Let's go now and note a clear understanding of this important word of theology that we're studying. Now, I want to cover two major words for you. Kuiper, K-I-P-P-E-R. K-I-P-P-E-R, those are Hebrew words. They appear twice in verse 11. Both translates atonement. To cover, pacify, make propitiation, to atone. To make atonement. To make reconciliation. Today, Jews celebrate Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, Kippur covers, and covers, and so they celebrate Day of Covering. Yom Kippur, Yom is day. Kippur means covering, means Day of Covering, Day of Atonement, Day of Propitiation. Second word, nephesh. N-E-P-H-I-S-H. N-E-P-H-I-S-H. A couple of things I want to show you about a nephesh. One, used at the beginning of verse 11, translated life. In reference to life of an animal. Two, animal life is in the blood. Three, now used in the middle of verse 11, the translated soul, to show that this is in reference to the human race. And it is different than in the animal. One, our life is in the soul. Animal life is in the blood. And the fourth, so when used here of an animal, translated life, when used of a human's translate a soul, but when it does, it's talking about of a human and not of an animal. Okay. We have some other things we need to cover in Leviticus, so we'll stop here, and this will be where we begin next Sunday morning, and hopefully next Sunday we'll finish here and get back and move on into forgiveness. Very important study in forgiveness. I've been in ministry over 46 years. I've learned some things in forgiveness I never knew, and that's what we're going to study. But we've got to finish the blood, because that has to do why the forgiveness is ever done. We're going to be forgiven because of the blood of Christ. So that's where we have to go. All right, let's take a word of prayer. Remember, next Sunday is the Lord's table in which we will partake food together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you allow us to learn through the ministry of the Holy Spirit things of the Bible, important things, the blood of Christ, blood of animals. Everything that happened on the cross for us. Father, I pray you take things that may have been a little difficult, maybe confusing. I pray you'll make it easy and fair, where they can understand it. Make it clear what I've confused. They're able to follow through what we're studying with blood. Physical blood, literal blood, and then the picture blood of Christ on the cross. Father, I pray you take these things now. Provide us with this reality. Everyone in the assembly, teaching, listening, the internet, that we can understand these things. And as we put two things together, Ephesians chapter 1, so much, not about us, our lives, but about Jesus Christ saving our life. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.